Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Well, good morning, Guts Church. Like Taylor said earlier, we're changing service up a little bit this morning. We've asked three dads to come and to share a little bit about how the church has impacted them. Their own dads have impacted them and how they currently are fathering, just what they've learned from God's word. So we're very honored. But before we do that, I think we need to, the Bible says to show honor what honor's due. So this morning, can you help me in honoring the father of Guts Church, Pastor Bill Shear? And let me just tell you from a personal experience, I was not raised in a Christian home. And Pastor Bill has always said the way he pastors is the way he parents. I've been in this church 17 years being parented, so I'm almost full grown. We're right there. It's right around the corner. I could see it. But I'm so honored to I parent because of what I learned right here at this church. Watching the way he's raised kids in ministry has changed my life. And it's allowed me to be able to go forth and do the same with my 500 kids that I have. So I'm very honored. Thank you so much. Love you, Pastor Bill Shear.
I'll tell you what, for me, it really has been awesome growing up in the family that I've grown up in. And it's interesting because people will ask, what is it like growing up with your dad as your dad? And honestly, it's like PC just said, it's how he is up here is how he is in the office, is how he is at home. And it truly has instilled consistency in my life of he's not one way up here and then one way at home, or a different way in the office, that what you see is what you get. So there's no question on what you're going to get. It is him. And it's refreshing, but yet it has instilled just that consistency that I'm able to input into my life with my family, in that who he is who he is, and he's never going to change because of circumstances. You could be in the middle of a storm. He's going to act the same way as if you're celebrating. That it is just consistent. And that is such an amazing testimony for me to be able to then instill that down into my kids, that we're just consistent, that no matter what, that you are a rock. And it doesn't matter what highs or lows, it's the same. And that truly is something that has been life-altering for me. So let's give it up one more time for my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. So like PC said, we have three different guys that we've asked to speak just to give a little five-minute either encouragement to dads or what they've learned from being here at the church or from their dads that they have now passed down. So the first guy I have the honor of introducing is a guy that I was thinking about driving up here, and I don't remember a time that he was not here. I understand that this guy looks very young, but he's not. He's like a vampire. He's looked the same ever since I can remember. And then 9:30 said 97, so I was thinking, okay, I was 11. So he's looked the same since I was 11. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Curtis Hunsinger.
Thank you, Taylor. Yeah, 97. I look the same, just a few pounds every year. No big deal, though, Chris, right? That was not a dig at you. I don't know what they're laughing about. That was a dig at myself. So I deflect that stuff right off. For those of you I don't know, I am Curtis Hunsinger. I really have been. Thank you, Pastor Bill and Sandy, for thinking to have me up here for a minute. I have been here since 1997. The first nightmare I got to serve in was 1998, and graduate of Broken Arrow Tigers, Broken Arrow High School. I know, right? Barely graduated there, somehow figured it out. But here I am. And so most of my adult life I've been here, man, planted in Guts Church, planted in the house of the Lord. And as I was asked to come up here and share, that's one of the things that I thought about was, you know, there's a lot of things we could share. But the thing that really stuck in me that I wanted to share today was just engagement. Man, the word engagement is, with me being here my entire adult life, it's just knowing that, man, if I'm engaged here, if I'm planted here, man, my life, it really will flourish. Man, that's what the Word says, Psalm 92:13. If you've been around this church for any length of time, you've heard Pastor Bill preach that message. And that's something that, man, I latched onto. And now as a father, man, that's something that I want to make sure that I engage my kids with, that when we're going to plant our family, we're going to plant ourselves in the house of the Lord. And that means that we're going to flourish in our lives. And I think too often, a lot of times, dads especially, just men especially, man, we have a tendency, we can be very passive. Man, we get engaged in our own employers, our businesses, our jobs, our hobbies, or whatever we have going on. We get engaged in those things, but when we come home, we try to disengage. And it's like, no, man, I've got to be engaged at home. I've got to be engaged in my kids' lives to make sure that they know how to speak God's word, so that they know how to help people in a time of need, so that they know how to be the man of God or the woman of God that they need to grow up and be, because we can't leave it to anybody else to do that. And a lot of times it's easy to leave it up to somebody else. Let somebody else handle it. Let the church handle it. Let society handle that. And we obviously know, man, we don't want that. We got to be the ones that engage them, because otherwise they're going to be listening to somebody. And I remember even before I had kids, I don't remember when it was, but a long time ago, before I even had kids, I got a 10-year-old, 8-year-old, and a 5-year-old, and two boys and a girl, and so she's obviously the boss, but it's amazing. But before I even had kids, one of the things that I heard Pastor Bill say that stuck with me, and I've carried it on as a parent, is if we don't tell our kids what to do, who's going to? And even before I had kids, for some reason, that just stuck with me. And so that's, man, just my encouragement to dads is, man, be engaged with your family. Be engaged with your kids. Man, teach them how to pray. Teach them how to get in the Word. Teach them to have values in their life. Man, even in our own family, just recently we sat down just a couple nights ago, as the kids are getting older and they're getting more opinionated and all those things, we said, okay, listen, we're going to list out 10 core values of our lives as our family. Man, we're going to list these 10 core values of our family. Man, what are they? And we engage them in that process. And so then now that they can see, man, they have their own core values. They say, man, we're going to put people first. We're going to put God first. Man, they were coming up with their own. But dads, we got to lead that process. We got to lead the process of our family. We got to engage our family, engage your kids, engage them in who they want to be and who you want them to be. Man, get them here at the church, because if they're planted here, man, their lives are going to flourish in every area, at their school, with their peers and their sports and their future careers, whatever they do in life. They're going to flourish, but they're going to look to you to engage them here. It's not just going to happen by chance. Very rarely does it happen by chance. Man, they've got to get in here, but they need you as the father and as the dad to engage them in that process. Man, to be present with them, to instill God's values in their life, to instill God's word in their life, into their heart every single day. Amen? Man, thank you guys for letting me speak. I hope it was helpful for you. Appreciate it.
Let's give it up for Curtis Hunsinger one more time. So the next guy that we asked to come up is someone who has been by default, a friend since he's younger than me, so as long as he's been alive. He's a guy that they've been great friends of the family. We've spent most of our holidays together. We have done very shameful things together. I told it in the 9:30, but we used to hide. Does anybody remember Tippins? God bless America. God bless Tippins. Rest in peace. It will be in heaven. But they had a French silk pie that every year or every holiday, it would disappear before dinner started. And it would go where the mixing bowls were at the Houston house, because that's where me and Hunter put the pie. That is the bond. And any men that are in the house understand the bond that you have with your friends over food. That's why we gave everybody bacon today. Because why not? It's Father's Day. We enjoy bacon. So I'm very excited for what he has to say. He's a great guy. We've grown up together. We now have kids, and it's cool just to go through these stages of life. So please join me in welcoming Mr. Hunter Houston.
Thanks, Pastor Taylor. Like you said, I'm Hunter Houston, son of Elder Scott and Vanessa Houston. If you haven't met Scott and Vanessa Houston, welcome to Guts. It must be your first time here. I was really excited when they asked me to do this, because I was like, well, obviously Scott Houston being my dad, I have thousands of things that I could talk about. And then I realized that he's probably taught every single one of those things at some time during Second Mile or something. So then my ideas went back down to zero. I'm trying to find something new. So, but what I wanted to talk about, something that I learned from Dad, is not something that we ever sat down and discussed or got down at a table and he taught me. It was something that I observed. And what it is I grew up in a household full of strong-willed, opinionated women. You might know them. They're over there. But doing so, Dad is probably the most easygoing guy I've ever met. Nothing really rattles him, gets him down, or anything like that. But on the flip side, the things that he's passionate about and he cares about, he has very strong opinions and feelings towards. And so as I've grown up and become an adult and entered the workforce and got married and had a child, for me to be the dad I want to be and the husband I want to be and the employee I want to be, et cetera, there's hundreds of characteristics that I strive to be, but at the core of it, it really revolves around learning what to care about and what not to care about. Because every day, as we go through our day, we're presented with situation after situation that could, you know, if we let it, bog down our time and take our emotions, or we could brush it off. And the thing is, there's a time for both. The things that are worth caring about and the things that, you know, you should invest your time in, do. But if it's not, don't let it get you down. And you know, being an easygoing person is something that we should strive to be. I think that's a great quality. But don't be so easygoing that people don't know what you're passionate about or really know what you care about. And then on the other side of that is as you learn about what you really care about and evaluate that in your life, you learn what your priorities really are. If I came to each of you and asked what your priorities are, we'd all have a list. We'd all be able to rattle off some different things. But at the end of the day, does that list align up with what you spend your time doing during your day? What you spend your time thinking about, what you spend your time, et cetera, and so on. And, you know, it's funny, as becoming a parent, people ask me about being a parent every time I come and see them, and I always gush. You know, I always gush about, oh, being a parent's the best thing that ever happened to me, and I love spending time with Cash and all this stuff. But then what I had to do is, as I was learning about what I care about, I had to evaluate if my actions really aligned with what I said my priorities are. And an example is, Seth and I are about to have our 5th-year wedding anniversary, which is crazy. But for the first 4 years of it, 5 or 6 times a week, almost every week, I would come home and I would run. Whether it was I was training for marathons, half marathons, whatever it was a priority in my life that I would do that. But now, if I get home at work at 6 and Cash goes to bed at 7:30, if he's really my priority, then it just doesn't fit. It doesn't have a place in my life at that time anymore. It has to be slotted somewhere else or slotted out or whatever that is, because Cash is now my priority. So Cash gets that special time. And Cash is my priority, so work gets investment and special time because I'm the provider. And Cash is my priority, so Sedef gets time. And I have to take care of his mom. And that's how, at the core of it all, maybe all of that time isn't directly invested into Cash, but he's the core of my priorities that determines where the rest of my time goes. And it's crazy because growing up, I can think of specific times where Dad sacrificed things in his life because of the priorities. He worked at the same job for 30 years because we were a priority. I understand the sacrifice that is now as an adult. And he loves playing music. He didn't get to always play music all the time because we were so busy with sports. Or he had a motorcycle that he loved, and when Caitlin and I were in college, he got rid of it because he was paying for 2 kids to get through college. There were things in his life that he cared about, but priorities were that much further and took up the majority of the time and his thoughts and his investment. And I don't want Cash to ever have a time in his life where he has to wonder about where he is as a priority in my life. If you asked me, I knew I was a priority because it showed in his actions, and I want that to be my life now. I don't want it to ever have to say, hey, you're a priority. He just knows. And then moving forward, as he grows up, I want him to be able to determine how to prioritize his life. I want him to be able to determine, you know, friends, relationships, however that is, be able to, you know, determine what should be a priority in his life moving forward. And on the flip side, I want him to be an easygoing kid, but I also want him to be passionate. You know, I want him to be very clear about what he's passionate about. I want him to be passionate about coming to church and passionate about his relationship with God and for it to be a priority in his life. And that will happen if it is for me. If it's a priority in my life and I'm passionate about my relationship with God, then it will follow suit with cash moving forward. And so that's kind of my challenge to the men, the fathers, even the mothers in here is, you know, be very clear about what your priorities are, but analyze if your actions and what you spend your time doing align with what you want your priorities to be, because that will determine what your kids' priorities are moving forward, the type of life that you want them to live. The type of life you want them to live, live it. And then it'll be much easier for them to follow suit as well. So thanks for having me. Happy Father's Day.
Very similar to Hunter. I quit running when I had kids also, Hunt. So it's 14 years ago, and I got a new kid, so maybe a while before I run again. So I remember Hunter as an eighth grader, and this sounds funny because he's 6'3 or whatever. But if you hit them in junior high before they grow, you can beat them in sports a lot. So I was the junior high youth director for a lot of years. And I remember playing Hunter in basketball in eighth grade, and it was fun, and I'd win some, and then he got taller, and he would win them all. But I remember talking to him and saying, Hunter, I can see you being a pillar of the youth. So you youth kids up here, I remember seeing him and saying, hey, in eighth grade, I could see us building something great because of who you are, because of the commitment of your parents and all that. And I just remember seeing it, and I look at him now, and he's now a pillar in the church. So he went from being a pillar in the youth to becoming a pillar in the church. And I'm telling you, that's so amazing. When kids are raised up in this environment, you get to see the fruit of it. He's now a dad. That's so amazing to see. Next guy speaking, I met him in college. And his son and my son are best friends. And can I just tell you, as a parent, you love that when you're sending your kid to somebody else's house, that their beliefs and they stand for the same things, you know they're going to be in a great environment. And as a parent, that's the most comforting thing. My son actually spent the night at their house. I think he wants to be at their house more, so I'm trying to figure that out right now. But amazing family. Please welcome to the stage, Matt Swaggart.
I'm Matt Swaggart. Most of you guys know me. If you don't, I grew up in a ministry family, ministry background. My dad was an evangelist. My grandfather was an evangelist. My brother's a preacher. They all preach. So my dad preached a lot on the road a lot. There were some years where he was gone over 200 days a year. I think one year it was over 250 days he was gone. But when I look back at my childhood, I don't remember him being gone. What I remember is that he was at every single one of my games. He never missed a game, no matter how busy he got, no matter what he did, he was always at the game. He was there to celebrate our wins. He was also there to help me work out the losses. And what I take away from that, I think about Father's Day, and I'm thinking about those moments. What that showed me was that what I did mattered to him. What I did, he cared about. He cared about how I did and how I progressed in life. And so reflecting on that for this Father's Day, there's a few things that I wanted to bring forward into my own fatherhood, and that's number one is we get one shot at this. Our children are like a vessel. They're going to be filled up with life. So what are they going to be filled up with? They're going to be filled up with the life that we teach them or the life where they weren't important enough for our time. So no matter what, they're going to be getting filled up. Things are happening is going to be filling up their heads. So I've kind of learned that humans are born with two fears. They say that they're born with the fear of falling. They're also born with the fear of loud noises. So that means everything else, every other fear, that's a train, that's a learned fear. So that life that they're being filled up with, they're being filled up with a lot of fears. So as a dad, what I want to do is I want to give my children the knowledge of faith, not the knowledge of fear. I want them to understand what the promises of God are, because that's how you combat life. That's how you win at life, is just by knowing the promises of God and using the promises of God. Because that child is a beautiful vessel. It will be filled up with something. Is my time valuable? Is my time more valuable than me spending it with them and my family? And so lastly, I get the opportunity to speak about, anytime I get the opportunity to speak about parenting, I will talk about this because it's so important. Our children learn about relationships based on how they view their parents treat people. And thinking about my daughter, and I can't stand to think about this, but at some point she's going to pick a right man for her. If I want her to pick the right man, I need to understand that I have to be that right man to my wife. My daughter needs to see how she needs to be treated, needs to see what it's like to be treated properly, so I've got to be that to my wife. So it isn't just spending time with my children and parenting my children. I also need to take note of how am I in the family life? How am I treating my wife? How am I treating those people around me? See, our children are going to take note of this. They're going to enact those same things if we aren't treating our spouses properly, our kids see that and they take note of that. And that will affect how they grow up. If I want my son to treat women properly, to treat people properly, I've got to make sure that I'm doing those things at home. Always showing respect to my wife, always giving her time and honor in approaching our relationship with humility. That's how our children will know how to approach relationships in life. But at the end of the day, I think all of parenting is being a father is that we're the gatekeeper of our house. We are in charge of what comes in and what goes out of our house. So are we going to be giving our children the knowledge of faith, equipping them for life, or just letting them go through life on their own, taking a back seat and just saying, okay, they'll learn, they'll figure it out? I don't think that's the right way to do it. I think the right way to do it is we take the word, we understand the word, we give our kids the word. And it's as simple as that. All faith is just understanding the Bible and applying it. That's what faith is. So we need to give our children the knowledge of faith to combat whatever fear comes at them in life. So that's my kind of challenge with fathers on Father's Day is let's prioritize our time like these guys were saying. Let's give our children the knowledge what they need to win. And let's be that in our home life and not just, hey, we go to work and we're busy. Let's take our time and make sure that it's very deliberate when we're with our children. Have a good day.
All the dads, let's go, let's hear it, come on. Come on, all the dads, on your feet. Let's go, all the dads, on your feet. All right, sit down. Get better. Any JV kids in here today? Any JV kids in here today? Man, I'll tell you, Opetta and Karen, are you guys here? Do you guys mind standing? Opetta and Karen, let me just tell you. I'll tell you, guys, God's doing something in your lives right now and in your ministries. God, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for the shift in the Vi household. God, I thank you for a whole new level of delivery. God, I thank you right now for the capacity of their lives to be enlarged. God, I ask you to bless them. God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for a move of your spirit in their household. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, isn't it great to have great people in leadership at our church, people that are committed, people that are laying down their lives. I got three things for you guys in here, especially you dads, okay? See, the way... When you think about when the Bible was written, and really honestly, most of the Bible was written to men. And it because men were the leaders in the homes and the leaders of their kids. And really honestly, a lot of it was for men to teach their sons how to be men. But then in the early 1900s, the 20th century, the Industrial Revolution hit and rural America became urban America and men left the homes and the farms and the ranches and where they earned a living and they went into the cities, people moved into the cities. And at that point, men were at work then from 7 or 8 in the morning till 6 or 7 at night. And really honestly, who's teaching the boys how to be men? And you know, you think about it, that's where the church today has to fill that gap. Man, we've got to be there. We can't just be there for the good kids and the core kids. We got to be there for kids. Man, when I think about it now, I'm thinking, you know what? We own a camp. Do you guys know that? We own a camp on Fort Gibson Lake, and it sleeps 100 people comfortably. Man, there's a kitchen there. There's a pavilion there for meetings. There's a lake. We've got a bunch of we have boats and jet skis and things down there for the kids. We should have a camp every week for kids that can't afford it, for kids that don't have that, especially those boys that don't have those dads at home that are teaching them how to be men. Because I'll tell you what, people like Opetta, people like the people that are around us, the elders of this church, man, they could teach these boys how to be men. Happy birthday, by the way, Scott Houston. Happy birthday, buddy. But I'll just tell you three things, three quick points, okay? So get your phones ready. You can take pictures of the screen. Three quick points, okay? Especially for the dads in here, all right? You got to love God. And loving God doesn't mean just knowing about him. Knowing about Jesus, you're acquainted with him. But listen, we've got to know God, and we have to keep him first in our life. God always has to be first. For everything to work in our life, God has to be first. If something's not working in your life, it's because God's not first in that area. So God has to be first. We have to love God. We have to keep him first. Number two, we have to trust God's promises. And I'll tell you this, we have to trust God's promises publicly. You know, there's previous generations that say, man, you never, in public, you never talk about politics or religion. I still kind of agree with the political stand on that, although some of it, when it gets spiritual, man, I want to be public about it. But let me just tell you, we've got to be public about what's in our hearts. We have to be public about trusting God's promises. Or else, how will people know? Man, the Bible says, how will they know unless they hear? How will someone hear unless someone preach? How will they preach unless they're sent? Man, we've got to go to the highways and the hedges. We've got to proclaim this from the housetops. Man, we've got to be vocal. We've got to preach in season and out of season. We have to publicly trust God's promises. Man, we have to stand. I love our stand, the stand that we take on God's provision to heal in this church. I love it. God heals anybody, anytime, every time. No matter what, no matter what the diagnosis is, that doesn't matter to God. When Pastor Sandy and I go to the hospital and we visit people, invariably on the elevator, in a hallway, in a room next door, someone grabs me and says, man, I know you're probably here to see somebody, but is there a chance that you can come into my room? My dad's laying in that hospital bed. Could you please pray for my dad? Why? Because of that public stance that we take on God's provision to heal and who God is in our life. So we have to love God. We have to keep him first. We have to publicly proclaim, publicly trust God's promises, especially men. Man, I'm telling you, when we've got the truth and the truth is bound in our heart and in our heart and we keep a bushel basket over the light that God's called us to be, I think we're nothing more than cowards. And I'm not saying be cheesy, preachy. I'm saying that we live this truth, that we trust God's promise, and we trust God's promise publicly. And number three, and this is a huge one, we got to be where we're supposed to be. Remember David, greatest warrior, greatest king that ever walked on the earth? He took a day off when kings were supposed to be at war, and he caught a glimpse of a naked Bathsheba. I mean, just a glimpse. And you know what? Changed his life. He wasn't, let me tell you, cut him off from building the tabernacle. See, we've got to understand that where we are and who we're with is all that matters. You being here today, let me just tell you, you're in the right place. See, what troubles me is the average committed church person in America today comes to church 1.3 times a month. Well, that means there's three or four times a month where people aren't where they're supposed to be. And you'll say, well, why do I need to be here? I'll tell you why, because there's 13-year-old TJs that are here that just got filled with the Holy Spirit this week and that came in front of, and the pastor brought him up and he said, man, this changed my life. When a 13-year-old kid like that gets up in front of everybody and says, it changed my life. Man, somebody's got to make that stick. It's got to matter to somebody that he's walking this out, that he's able to. Why? Because we're not here just to flash drive convert people. No, you know what? We're here to disciple people. So in order for us to disciple people, we have to have three things. We have to make the right decisions. We have to live disciplined lives. And we've got to be prepared to sacrifice. I'll tell you why people are at church 1.3 times a month is because church is a sacrifice. Man, it's a lot easier to be other places. It's a lot more convenient. It's a lot more comfortable. It's uncomfortable to come in here and be confronted by God's word. Do you understand God's word is confrontive? Do you understand that God's word, the Bible says it's offensive? You know what it does? It separates us from the carnality of our lives. See, what's hard about what I see now in the body of Christ and in Christianity for me is we take things like the favor of God. And let me just tell you, the favor of God is huge for Pastor Sandy and me in developing and raising our kids. Man, I want our kids to know what the favor of God is and what not being in the favor of God is. and I want them to crave. I want them to be able to identify the favor of God. But you know what? We reduce it to things now where we're driving to the mall or we're going to the movie house or we're going to a ball game, and we see a front row parking place, and we pull in that parking place and say, oh my gosh, oh, it's just a favor of God. We reduce it to something as superficial as that. And while we're taking the front parking place, especially I want to talk to the men in here, as we take the front parking place, there's an elderly woman with a cane or a walker that's got the far reaches of the parking lot that's trying to get to that, into that store, into that movie. But we're thinking it's a favor of God that's on my life that I got that. Or you go to a retail outlet, and you know what? Someone has mismarked a shirt. And you buy that shirt for half price of what it's supposed to be. And you know what? Instead of going in there and saying, no, you know what? I'm going to be honorable. I'm going to pay the correct price. You're going to say, man, a card laid's a card played. It's just the favor of God. See, it can't be superficial like that. Man, we got to put God first. We've got to publicly trust his promises. And we've got to be where we're supposed to be. Man, I'm telling you, the idea of this, and it wasn't just TJ. How many of you young people got filled with the Holy Spirit this week at camp? Let me see your hand. Look at this. And you know what? Oh, my gosh, that's good. We're going to clap like they just sank a dadgum putt. I'm telling you, it's a game changer. I got a text from the man who laid hands on me and prayed for me and offended me at church because he put his hands on me and he prayed for God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I got a text from him today. He said, I was there the morning that your dad gave his life to Jesus and answered that altar call and wept at the altar in front of 300 people. And now he's in heaven. And I said, I remember the day that you put your big old grubby hands on my head and shook me around like a rag doll and prayed for God to fill me with the Holy Spirit, and it changed my life forever. And he put his text back and said, I got to pray for you so that today I can watch online and you can minister to me. Let me tell you how this works, man. This works because you're here. This works because you're where you're supposed to be. And you know what? Not just taking up space, but helping people win. That's what our life is. We're going to help people win. Man, if TJ lives a spirit-filled, spirit-led life, look out. But you know what? The cares of this world, riches, superficial favor are going to pull him away from all of it. Do you understand how great our God is? Do you understand the favor of God is this? Here's how you teach your kids the favor of God. Eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the great things that God has for those who simply love him and put him first. Please, you dads in here, teach your kids by example to love God, to put him first. Teach your kids by example to publicly trust God's promises. Oh, but it's embarrassing. Please get over yourself. Oh, but it's awkward. We're Christians. We're the kings of awkward. We're not swimming the same way. We don't dance to the same music. We're not celebrating the same things. God's ways are higher for us. And we're going to be where we're supposed to be. I want to ask you men in here that stood as dads, how many of you guys will raise your hand and commit to each other today that we're going to be where we're supposed to be in the name of Jesus? Can I see your hands? Let's commit to it today. Everybody say, I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be. And let me tell you, life works out. Your kids serve God. You know what? I'm going to open the altar today. This isn't just a stage that we speak from or we sing or play music from. This is an altar where we meet with our God. If you're here today, you ask these JV kids, what happened at camp? And you know what they'll say? I went to the altar. I went to the altar and Donnie and Jimmy and Bobby laid hands on me and prayed in the spirit. That's what TJ just told me. He just gave me three names. Random people had said they prayed in the spirit, and now I do. Oh my gosh. I'll tell you, it happened to me in 1979. And I'm just telling you, things fell into place in my life. You know what happened when God filled me with His Holy Spirit? I got on this moving sidewalk like they have at the big airports. And you know what? It just took me through life. I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, look at this. And I got used to the tempo, and I got used to the cadence, and I got used to the rhythm of it. And then you know what? I stepped onto that path that God has for me to walk and run. And man, my feet were under me, and I was ready to go, and I was conditioned for that tempo and that cadence and that rhythm. You might be here today and you might be carrying shame in your heart. You might be carrying guilt about something. Let me just tell you about the cross of Christ Jesus. What it does is everything that brought shame and guilt and unforgiveness into your life, it severs you. And what God does is He puts you on that moving sidewalk, and the next thing you know, you're like, don't look back, don't look back, and it can't catch up with you anymore. That you get out in front of it. See, that's how we help people win. We help people get out in front of the enemies and the issues. And you know why? You know why you want to be out in front? Because God's your rear guard. He's covering your back. Man, you've got the whole armor of God. Notice all of it. All of it's in the front of you. But you know what? God covers your backside. And what we've got to understand now is as long as we don't look back and as long as we don't go back, our enemies stay back. That's tweetable. But I'll just tell you, we've got an altar up here now. Is your life right with God? Is there shame in your heart? Is there guilt in your life? Is there unforgiveness? Because let me tell you, you receive forgiveness. When you receive forgiveness of sin and forgiveness of apathy and forgiveness, guess what? You're able to forgive others. I'll tell you what, my dad left this earth last week saying, I'm a blessed man. I've got four kids and they all know the Lord. He said, I'm a blessed man. He looked at me and said, I have no unforgiveness in my life. I've got forgiveness for everybody. He had a revelation of heaven. What if this is bad news? None of it is. See, you know, I want to give you that chance. We've got room up here at the altar, and Pastor Sandy and I are going to pray for you. We're going to have other people come up and pray for you. But we're not leaving here the way we came. You're not leaving here with a 50-pound pack of shame on your back and try to run your race to win. You can't win with that. Oh my gosh, but I've made mistakes. Hey, I don't know that you'll be able to find the end of the line to get in that line. Do you understand that? And you know what the great thing about God as our dad? He doesn't take account of our mistakes. He doesn't hold our sin against us. You know, you sitting in church, listen to me right now, even if you're rolling your eyes in your heart, God's identifying you with Christ. You're in the right place with the right people to get rid of the dadgum baggage you've been carrying and live your life free with liberty. If you're in this room today and you need to get your life right with God, right now, just come up to the altar. If you're here in this room today and you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, right now, get up out of your seat and come down to this altar. I need somebody to break the ice because dozens will follow you. Be a leader in here today to get your life right with God, to give your life to Jesus. Now let's go. If you've got any unforgiveness in your heart for anybody, please leave your seat and come to the altar now. If you're here and you've got guilt or you got shame in your life, leave your seat and just come to the altar now. Don't let this time pass. I've experienced this. I know what I'm talking about. me making that walk from the back of that church up to where I gave my life to the Lord, and I asked God to forgive me, and I repented of my past life, changed everything. And now I get to be with a family of believers that in the last 25 years, over 300,000 people have gotten their lives right with God. Look at the repercussive effect of what could happen in your life if you just got rid of the shame, you got rid of the guilt, you got rid of the unforgiveness. Let me tell you what's going to leave your life. Look at me. Depression's going to leave your life. If you deal with depression, let me just tell you, you get rid of the baggage, you get rid of the root of that depression, you won't have it anymore. And see, that's what God wants to do. God wants to take the axe of his power, his mighty right hand, and he wants to sever the root of bitterness, the root of unforgiveness, the root of depression, the root of failure. If you're in here today and most of your life you feel like you've been a failure, get out of your dadgum seat and come meet with the God who loves you. Come to the altar. Get free today. See, this is what you can't get if you're not here. And let me just tell you, you got to build up that trust. God, do I trust you enough? God, do I trust this preacher enough? God, do I trust this church enough? I'll tell you what, when that man grabbed a hold of my head, and we're not going to do that to you today, but when Steve grabbed a hold of my head, cars are driving by on the street. People were laughing. I'm gritting my teeth, mad. But then you know what happened? Something broke on the inside of me. You know what? I went from being mad to saying, wait a minute, this is better than cocaine. This is unbelievable. It was euphoric. I'm not saying you're going to get that. I'm not saying you're going to have that. I'm going to say you're going to get something better. And you don't have to be as bad off as I was to get that kind of release in your life. You can just be right where you are, and let's just get to brutal, heathen honesty and say, I want better. I want a better life. I want to start winning in life. Man, you face something that's difficult. I've had 100 people pray. You're coming to an altar where the man of God will say, check again. Check again. And I'm telling you, what's going to happen is you're going to see a cloud the size of a man's hand. It's going to be minuscule. It's not going to matter. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to build into gushing, washout rain. Rain of blessing in your life.